I preached a couple of weeks ago on prayer, and of course, what I'm looking at today, if we do not have this element tied to prayer, then our prayers will not be effective. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and I will only read two verses to you today, and I'm going to cover a lot of ground here that if you don't get all of it, that's okay. I think what God intends for you to have will touch your heart and you'll pursue it even further. Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. It is the hall of faith. And many of the patriarchs, how that they operated by faith, their witness is exposed and God lifts them up and tells of the importance of their faith. And God blesses them for their faith. And this chapter is a faith chapter. That's the basis of this entire chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the what? Substance. Underline the word substance. Substance of things hoped for. And the what? Evidence. Mark that word evidence. Of things not seen. Verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is, what's the next word? Impossible to please Him, referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what he's saying here, if we pray and do not pray in faith, seeking God by faith, we'll never get the answers that we need to prayer. Now, we are living in an intellectual age. People appeal to the intellect. And if we're not careful, we'll let the intellect supersede the very thing that God says pleases Him. God says our intellect is not the thing that pleases Him. It is our faith. You may have no education at all in your life, but be one of the greatest heroes of faith ever, because God says it's where our faith is placed. When God created man in His image. God created man body, soul, and spirit. Amen? How do you know that? Faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. We know how the earth was created. We know that God created man, and He created us with body, soul, and mind. The body didn't cease to be. But when sin came, it affected the body. See, when God made us body, soul, and mind, body, soul, and spirit, He made us perfect. But the state of perfection collapsed when man fell into sin. So no longer is the body perfect. I do not believe that Adam ever had a day of sickness until he sinned. I don't believe he had a pain until he sinned. And I believe we're going to a place where all of that will be restored again and we'll have a perfect body. We still have a body. It is just a body that is now weak, a body that is no longer honorable, a body that is now corruptible, a body that is no longer immortal. God made us that way. Someone said, well, that's an impossibility. Nothing could ever have self-existed. God proves that in nature. You ought to look up sometime the meaning, a little word, hydra. Look at what the hydra is in our ecosystem. Do you know the hydra has a way of rejuvenating itself? God made it that way that it never grows old. God left the hydra on this earth to this day to prove to us the God that created it all also says you're going to one day have a body like that hydra. It will never grow old. It will replenish itself. It will rejuvenate itself. I don't have that body now, but one day I'm going to have that body. The body was affected. The soul was affected because now the soul that sinned shall die. That's not ceasing to be. That means no longer do you have that eternal relationship, body, soul, and spirit with God. But also it affected the mind. The mind of man was perfect until sin came. But when man's mind was affected by sin, it was affected this way. We still have a mind, but now we are prone to think sinfully with our mind instead of spiritually with our mind. I can prove that to you. You don't have to teach your child to do wrong. They'll figure out how to do wrong all by themselves. Your children will do things that's wrong that you never have had an example of that wrong in their life. They've never seen that out of you. You're saved. You're trying to be the right example. But you watch and see if they don't do things. It's not because even that they see somebody else do it. Our thoughts now are no longer spiritual. Our mind has been darkened and our mind has been blinded. That's the danger when people tell you that you need a religion that simply opens your mind. If you open your mind, you can ascend spiritually some way to be on a certain level with God. God is not looking for an open mind. God is looking for an open heart. He is looking for faith in Him. So now our mind, even though we still have the ability to think, we think oftentimes sinfully. But with what reasoning is there, God still appeals to our reasoning. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow, Isaiah said. God appeals to our reasoning through all of that. But God says in the end, it is not your reasoning that will save you. It is your faith. Now thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying that if you do not have faith in God and faith in Christ and faith in the work in Christ, you cannot be saved. And that creates a lot of problems. And the problem that people face is now they are trying to intellectually prove and explain God, a God that can only be revealed on a spiritual level through faith. They're trying to do it through intellect, through education. No one can teach you how to be saved. God's chosen that avenue because He doesn't want it to merely be of our mind. Now be honest. If you're 50 or older, is your mind what it used to be? My mind deteriorates. I can't remember things like I used to remember. And there's often times I'll see people and I'll struggle to recall their name for a few moments. And sometimes, in fact, I've got a new rule. If you lay out of church 5 months, I've got the right to forget your name. God's given me peace on it. But we do. Our minds, we overlook people. We don't mean to. We don't mean to be offensive. But our mind gets weaker. But can I reassure you, even though my mind is weaker, my God is more real. Faith is stronger. See, God's not basing our day of judgment on what we are mentally. If that was the case, God would not be fair and just. That's also the explanation to people that do not have a right mind. What about children? They don't know. This week in the meeting down at Winterfest, there was a gentleman and his wife had two little kids, and the little kids, I was talking to them after church. The one probably, I think he was 2, the other was 3. And I shook his hand. I said, how are you? He said, I'm hungry. I said, well, what do you want? He said, French fries. I said, from where? He said, I don't care. I want French fries. So I reached into my pocket and I got out enough money. I asked his parents while I was reading, where does he like French fries? They said, well, we're going to such and such a drive-thru, I think, to get some. So I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a $20 bill and I handed it to the little fella. He knew it was money and he was excited, but he had no idea what that was worth. So I said, hey, Braden, I said, what are you going to get with that? He said, French fries. And I said, does anybody else in your family want French fries? He said, yes. Sissy wants French fries. I said, how old is Sissy? She's 3. I said, well, get her some French fries too. And he held his hand out. I said, no, I promise you, there's enough in your hand to buy her some. And I said, does mommy and daddy like french fries? He said, uh-huh. I said, well, buy some for mommy and daddy too. And he held both hands out. And I said, I promise you, there's enough there to pay for all of it. And he said to his father, look, look, look. French fries, French fries, French fries. He didn't understand all of it, but he had faith that when I gave him my word that would buy French fries, that's all that he needed. I'm just a preacher. Why do we struggle so at a God that has never lied to us, has never deceived us, has never done wrong by us? Why do we struggle so hard to say, I'm just going to take you at your word? Even in our justice system, if a person does not have the mental capability of discerning right from wrong, they don't have to stand trial. They have to be aware of the fact that they did wrong. Now that's a great blessing because that answers questions that you may have. What happens to a child that dies? We call it the age of accountability. That phrase is not in your Bible. That simply means that there is a point in our life where that we get mature enough to understand that we are a sinner and that we need forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit deals with our heart and reveals to us that we are not right on a spiritual level with God. And we know we need to trust the Lord. We sometimes say to the children, ask Jesus to come into your heart. The phraseology is all the same. It is simply by faith, believing that Jesus is who He said that He is, and trusting Him to take our sin away. And if we can't do that, then we can't be saved. That answers the question concerning those that have a mental disability, that their whole life they don't have a mind of a 2 or 3 year old. Someone said, what happens to that person? They go to heaven. No, don't send me nasty letters and don't write me. You're wrong. They go to heaven. Because we're not saved by our intellect. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, then comes down to the great, great decision. What if some, see if God based it on that. What if your IQ wasn't high enough? At what IQ level does God put it to say you've got to be at this level mentally to get in? He doesn't hinge any of it on our IQ, on our ability, on our intelligence. He says we need to put our faith in the Son of God that died for our sins. Then and only then can we be saved. So that brings about 2 basic points about faith. You have to choose faith. You have to choose to place your faith in God. You've already got faith. I don't have time to go into all, but you've got faith. God said you've got faith. He's given you the faith that's needed to be saved. But faith says this. First of all, you have to trust what you cannot test. You cannot apply the physical to the spiritual. You can't put faith in a test tube. I can't draw blood from your arm and tell if you've got faith in the Lord to be saved. I can't do that. You can't put it in a crucible. You can't put it in a test tube. You can't put it in an equation. You can't run a test to see. And you know, people all the time say, well, if there's evidence of it, no physical evidence. If I can't run a test on it, then how in the world can I depend on something like that? If I can't run it through some kind of a test, how do I know if it's real or not? If it even exists or not? But isn't it funny? Let me ask you this. How many of you believe that depression is real? Apparently somebody does. Look at the billions that's spent on medication to take care of it. I don't know of an x-ray they run on somebody to say, hey, I looked at your x-rays and you're depressed. if everything's run through a test tube, psychologists are out of business. We can't see how far advanced that the mind oftentimes is. Just because you can't test something doesn't mean that it's not real. You'd be amazed at the diseases that we've named from the history of time, that we gave them a name and they couldn't run a blood test. And even years ago, they had no idea that you could test for it to see if you had it or didn't have it. They ask you questions and they use reasoning to surmise that's what you've had. For any of you that's ever been involved in counseling, you know there's basic questions that you ask somebody. If the answers are in certain categories, then they have, from the answers that they give you, based on that, they are probably dealing with clinical depression and they need medical help for that. Boy, it's quiet now, isn't it? But you're going to have to face something that I can't explain to you, because God says, I'm so big and I'm so powerful, I don't have to explain myself to you. I'm God. I don't need you to support me. I don't need you to hold me up. I don't need for you to prove that I exist. I don't need you to prove that I created the heavens and earth. I don't need you to prove one thing. I did it. I did it all by myself. You wasn't there when it happened. Nobody else was there when it happened. I did it before anything was. And I'll be here when everything else is gone and this world is going into oblivion. I'll still be God standing all alone by my power and might. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. But God had no beginning and God has no end. We can't go back to a starting point with God and thank God there is no ending point. The other thing is, faith does not demand proof. Faith is the proof. Faith is the substance, proof. How do you know you're sitting on a pew? Touch it, feel it. Well, you can't touch faith, but faith is just as real as the seat you're sitting on. Give me evidence. It is the evidence. You can't bring the evidence into evidence. The evidence is what it is. You can't change it, make it something else. God's saying there's some things that are absolutely self-evident to you. I created you that way. Even though that your mind has been marred, I'm still saying that you can come with reasoning, ability to realize you are dying and that you need hope and you need help and you can put your faith in a living God. Some things don't need to be explained. It is self-evident. For example, if I ask you, how many of you saw, touched, talked to your great, 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 great grandfather? How many of you ever did that? Not a one of you in here did. Life didn't allow you to. Length of life didn't allow you to. But it's self-evident that you had one. Do you know why it's self-evident? You're here. Had you not had one, you would not have been here. There's some things that's self-evident. I don't have to tell you about it. Way down in the depths of your heart, when you walked inside the building today, something stirred in the depths of your soul that said there is a God. So I don't have to explain myself to a world that is going crazy with intellect that's looking to put God in a test tube. I don't want a God that I can bottle up. I don't want a God that I can constrain in any way. And I don't have to ask your opinion on it. Thank God it is evident to me. Jesus died on a cross. It is evident to me that He shed His blood. It is evident to me that they placed Him in a tomb. It is evident to me that He rose from the grave. It is evident to me that He sits on the right hand of the Father. It is evident to me that He is my mediator and my helper in the time of need. It is evident to me when I confess my sin, He saved my soul and changed my life. It is evident to me that He is coming again.
It is evident to me when I die, that is not the end of all of us. There is a better place to go. It is evident to me there is a heaven. It is evident to me there is a new body. Faith overcomes the world. Faith. Some things are self-evidenced. You're here today. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you pray, if you pray and don't have faith, what is your prayers accomplished? Oh, but I prayed and it didn't happen that way. That meant God had a better plan. And faith says, I'm not giving up on God or doubting God. And I don't believe God has forsaken me. I believe God has a design plan for something better in my life. There's something there that I cannot see. And I don't have to explain it to you. I don't have to know it all. Every prayer I've prayed has not been answered the way I want it. But He's answered enough to make me know. It is self-evident to me there is a God. He cares about what you care about. Faith can change your whole situation today forever. Why are we dealing with this? Well, it's apparent to me. They're coming to get a song. It's apparent to me that some of you are going to need to pray prayers of faith in days to come that you never prayed before. God's trying to give us more word to be able to say, I'm going to believe you no matter what. Your heads are bowed, no one looking on.